How do we get from the Ronaldo to the greatest?
Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers as we embark on Strikers, the final episode of our GOAT series with me, Josh, and Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, mate. This is it, the pinnacle. This is what it all comes down to, right? Generally, strikers are the best.
Every kid wants to be a striker. They are the ones who win the awards, win the games.
Yeah. A lot of pressure,
though. You don't want to be a
striker? I didn't want to be a striker, no.
I would say there's more pressure on a goalkeeper or a centre-back.
Yeah, I'd say goalkeeper, actually. Goalkeeper's probably the highest pressure
just
situation.
Just that one error that can just ruin it for everybody. You might come rushing out your goal, get clotheslined by Callum Wilson, give the ball away, and he kicks over your head, and you concede the goal, and referee, for some reason, doesn't give a foul. That could happen.
That could happen to anyone.
So happened
to your team this weekend, didn't it? So,
but we're talking Brazilian forwards here. Brazil, ooh, sexy Brazil. You got to be, if you're an attacking player, if you want a really good attacking player, you've got to be Brazilian, haven't you?
I think so. You're always, it's a Football Manager classic, isn't it? You're always looking at the under-21s and the under-18s of Brazil, looking for the next R9 or Pele.
Yeah, yeah. Favourite Brazilian outside of these two? You got a favourite Brazilian?
I think Ronaldinho's got to be up there. Adriano for Shot Power 99. I'd probably say Ronaldinho, though, I think, yeah.
Pretty good. I did like Rivaldo. I remember watching live on when La Liga was on Sky Sports, watching his hat trick against someone or other to get Barcelona into the Champions League, and so finished like in the top three or four in La Liga. I remember watching that. Pretty
just
good.
Tainted though, isn't it?
It's Turkey face hole. Yeah. Is that what you're talking? Isn't it?
Yeah, obviously that's what I was talking about. There's some wonderful Brazilians though. When you think about it, Kaká, Carlos, Dani Alves.
Lucio,
yeah, you're a big fan of Lucio.
Cafu, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. But I'm starting today with the Ronaldo, the Phenomeno, R9. That feels like a retrospective R9, though. We talked about this the other week, didn't we? In terms of setting up a brand name. Is he R9?
I think he missed the trick. I don't think I remember ever, because you'd think there would have been boots or something, right? Whoever sponsored him as a boot, like Nike, let's say Nike made
Nike.
His boots.
He's a Nike boy.
They would have done the Nike R9s or something. Maybe they did, and I just wasn't aware, because I wasn't a striker. So, yeah.
So you think of Ronaldo, you think of him in what shirts? Where do you see him?
Oh, it's a tough one. I can picture him in... There isn't a Brazil, the Brazilian yellow top, because I've got it here with Ronaldo on the back in my cupboard. In terms of clubs, I think I can picture him in Barca, Inter Milan, Real Madrid, and they're the big three. I know that he played for PSV.
He's got two before that and two after that. Do you want to just try and complete the set? Two clubs before Barcelona?
Grêmio.
Wrong.
Was it not Grêmio? Oh, PSV.
PSV, correct, yes.
Where was he in Brazil? Oh no, Ronaldinho was Grêmio, wasn't he? Ronaldo was Corinthians, I'll go with.
No, Corinthians is the last club. So it was Cruzeiro, PSV, Barcelona, Inter Milan, Real Madrid, AC Milan, Corinthians. So yeah, I love it. This is from his page. So he played football, joined the social Ramos football team at the age of 12, led the city's youth league in scoring with a record 166 goals in the first season.
Wow, okay.
Scoring 11 of his team's 12 goals in a single game. And Ronaldo credits futsal as his first love. He was spotted by Jairzinho when playing, and eventually signed for Cruzeiro. And at a young age, though, he scored 44 goals in 47 games for them. Led them to their first, I think this is a Brazilian FA Cup, Copa to Brazil. I think it's going to be a kind of Brazilian FA Cup for them. But again, a very young age. So he, in 1994, when he was 17, he was called up to the World Cup squad. Brazil didn't play, but Romário, who'd been at PSV for 5 years before that, 88 to 93, recommended Ronaldo to move to PSV. I think PSV fans would be quite grateful for that, because he did pretty well. Scored 10 minutes into his debut, and people saying, never seen an 18-year-old like this. In his 2 seasons at the club, he scored 54 goals in 58 games.
ridiculously good.
Which isn't bad, especially as in his second season he had a knee injury, which is telling, which kept him out for most of the campaign, but still managed to score 19 goals.
Wow, okay. I've always wondered about injuries like that with players. So Ronaldo obviously had injury problems, but is there something on his page around what caused that first knee injury, or was it something he had from youth, or was it...
No, he doesn't mention it. I think part of this is going to be the power that he has, I think. It is a real horrible bit, which I will touch on. So PSV goes to Barcelona. Barcelona managed by Sir Bobby Robson. They sign him. And because Inter Milan and Barcelona are both interested at the time, he goes to Barcelona. World record fee, almost $20 million in 1996. And Bobby Robson's like, yeah, we signed an 8-year contract. He's going to play up front. And I think he's there for like 2-3 seasons because there's lots of contractual elements which go a little bit wrong. He's there for one season, actually.
Wow.
So not quite the 8 seasons that Sir Bobby mentions. But it's 34 goals in 37 games. And 47 goals in all competitions for them. But with all those contractual elements, he then moves to Inter Milan, who pays his release clause, world record fee again, $27 million, making the second player after Maradona to break the world record twice. And you know, has a fantastic season again. All his fellow teammates are just going, this is the greatest kind of player of this age I've ever seen. His goal celebration, you remember it? The kind of arms wide spread out like Christ the Redeemer? Now, this is where you kind of get injury problems. So you look down at his kind of season. So he signs for Inter Milan, 32 appearances, 25 goals. He then gets injured in the back end of the his second season, 14 goals, 19 games. Oh, are you ready? You ready for this?
I'm braced. I've just eaten dinner, but I should be okay.
Okay, so during his first comeback, he played only 6 minutes during the first leg of the cup final before suffering a complete rupture of the kneecap tendons. Ronaldo's physiotherapist, Nilton Petrone, said his kneecap actually exploded and called it the worst football injury he's ever seen. So my guess would be that he's rushed back from injury at that point. He'd been rushed back. He had, because he had done a full rupture of his knee tendon, first of all, in November, came back 5 months later and then goes again. So it's that kind of valuability of a striker with goals. You miss it, if you're missing Ronaldo, you're missing a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Then players want to get back soon, the club want to get back soon, so it did not. But that meant he missed the end of that season, full season, the season after, and most of the following season. So Inter Milan have him for 3 years of doing absolutely almost nothing. So he had played those two seasons where I mentioned. Next season, 3 goals and 7 appearances, nothing, 7 goals, 10 appearances. So it's basically 2 seasons Inter Milan out of 5 that he plays, and one of it is 1.5 out of 5, I'd say, actually.
Bloody hell. Do you reckon that's something that if he was playing now, with medicine coming as far as it has with these sports injuries and everything, he would have got so many more games because of the rehabilitation, the recovery, the actual surgery 100%. Probably would have been,
Even just the advice on how to take care of yourself and things like that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you look at players and you think, oh, if only they were. And we'll probably look back on players today thinking, in 20 years' time, going, oh, if only they were around today and we wouldn't have had this, that, and the other. But obviously, he still managed to recover from it all. And he still managed to he kind of reinvented himself, didn't he? He was very slight in his early days and it was very much then just muscle. And then Real Madrid Ronaldo was much more robust, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's a nice way of putting it. But he spent 5 seasons there, plays doubled the amount of games he played at Inter Milan. So, you know, scoring 23 and 31, 24 and 32, 21 and 34. Scoring goals are plenty. Strangely, kind of a couple of clubs began, Milan and Corinthians after that, which isn't really too much. Plays a lot for 62 goals in total for Brazil national team. I mean, 15 goals in one of the calendar years, which is quite incredible.
Wow, yeah. I can remember him in his Real Madrid days. He scored a hat-trick at Old Trafford and he was robust, as you said before, then. But he was just so lethal. He was so deadly. And like, I can remember, was it Brazil Germany in the World Cup final, where two of his goals were purely instinct rebound, putting it like that. Kahn had spilt one and he dived in and got there before Kahn on the rebound, and then the another one was a long range shot and Kahn made a good save, but he just reacted so much quicker than anybody else and just stuck
it
in.
That was with his lovely haircut, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it was. It was that, yeah, yeah. It was that one.
Because you look back and he won the UEFA Cup with Inter Milan. He won a cup with PSV. He won the La Liga twice with Real Madrid. Never Champions League. Obviously won, he was part of the 94 winning World Cup squad and then won it for himself proper, you know, playing key impact in 2002. So you look at it and you think, oh, not quite there, is it, in terms of what he's actually taken home, which, but what a player he was.
And I think that's something that everyone knows with R9, right, is that it's not actually about the accolades he won, it's about how he played and how much of an inspiration he was for, but just actually a joy, not even an inspiration, it was just fun to watch him play all the time.
Yeah. And the amount of goals he did rounding the keeper is very rare. You see, it's not often you see it these days.
No.
It must be some analytical thing that, you know, you have a much better chance of scoring one-on-one by... I always think of players like Adama Traore. You see him sometimes running through on goal. It's like, why aren't you rounding the keeper?
Yeah.
You can dribble past everybody. Why are you trying to take that shot and he gets saved? Just keep dribbling. Dribble over the goal line, man. Stop kicking it.
Yeah.
It's really not a done thing that much, is it?
No, it's not. And the stepovers of R9 is what always fooled the goalkeeper, right? It'd through one-on-one, it would be about 8 million stepovers and then a drop of the shoulder and he sent the keeper the wrong way.
Yeah. He's touched the ball zero times, but the keeper's just gone, then you've touched the ball past him.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Like, what a player. What a player. And we've got to get from him to another Brazilian who is... Well, let me run... I've gone with Pelé. Now, it's not my personal choice, would have been Ruud van Nistelrooy, but we've already used him on the podcast, so we're not allowed to go back to old pages. And that would have been totally blinkered with just my favourite player ever in Ruud van Nistelrooy. But I've gone with Pelé. I'll reel off some stats for you. And
go for it.
It's probably completely the opposite to R9 in the sense that Pelé is all about what he's done and what he's won. So the only player ever to win the World Cup three times. The FIFA declared greatest player ever. FIFA player of the century. IFFHS player of the century. Winner of 7 Ballon d'Ors. Most goals for Brazil. Most hat-tricks ever in world football. The youngest winner of the World Cup at 17 years and 249 days. Youngest player to win the Ballon d'Or at 22. Youngest goal scorer in a FIFA World Cup final at 17 years and 249 days. Most assists provided in FIFA World Cup history with 10. And most assists provided in a single FIFA World Cup tournament with 6. 1,279 goals in 1,363 games is a classified Guinness World Record. And then some quotes just to sum him up. Johan Cruyff, a player, described him as a player that surpassed the boundaries of logic. Puskas said the greatest player ever was Di Stefano, but Pelé was above that. He was more than a footballer. When asked how do you spell Pelé, someone answered G-O-D. That was part of a punditry team. Bobby Charlton said, I feel that football was solely invented for Pelé. Cristiano Ronaldo, Pelé is the greatest ever player in football history. Mourinho, Pelé is football. He is the real special one. And then Di Stefano himself, who obviously Puskas said was the greatest player other than Pelé, who was more than a footballer. Di Stefano himself said, the best player ever has got to be Pelé. Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo are both great players with specific qualities, but Pelé was better.
Wow.
I mean, that's quite impressive. I think a lot of the things that stick with me, obviously, winning the World Cup at 17 and scoring in the final and, frankly, taking the piss out of everyone in that tournament was unbelievable when you watch the highlights and you read about it. Scoring in the final and winning a Ballon d'Or at the age of 22 is incredible. Ridiculous. Loads of headers. He was 5'8", I think. Was it 5'8" or 5'8", I think. Loads of headers, free kicks, penalties. He once said, I don't really want to take penalties for Brazil because I think it's a cowardly way to score goals. He seemed to have it all. And I said to you just before we recorded, like, as part of the research into Pelé that we try and, you know, in inverted commas, research we try and do before each podcast, I was watching highlights of him that are available on YouTube. And... Yeah, I was just looking at him thinking, just your sort of player. Very Messi-esque, most of his highlights, around dribbling in, out of trouble, two or three players, putting a nice finish in the corner, lots of little flicks over his head like sombreros to go and beat a man and stuff like that. And you sort of, I was watching it and you're sort of thinking, all these skill moves that people do on FIFA and Pro Evo and stuff, generally Pelé seemed to have done them all at one point. It was absolutely incredible. But I think, given the fact that FIFA declared him the greatest player ever, and then IFFHS, which is the media outlet, isn't it, for football, declared him the player of the century along with FIFA, he's got to be up there as the GOAT strikers.
Yeah, I'd say he's got a good chance.
Yeah. So, obviously, a career that only played for two teams in his senior career, which was Santos in Brazil, 618 goals in 636 games. And then New York Cosmo, who you covered in a previous episode.
Big signing for them, yeah.
Yeah, 37 goals in 64 appearances for them, which in league terms gave him exactly 700 appearances, scoring 655 goals, which is very impressive, even if most of it did come in Brazil in the 60s. And he did it on the world stage, 77 goals in 92 appearances for Brazil. Really good, Josh. He was really good.
he could kick a ball. Yeah. I think a couple of things. Neymar's close to breaking that record now, I think, isn't he?
I think he is. I think Neymar's pretty close to breaking it, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because we talked about Ronaldo getting called up at 17 for the World Cup squad, we actually have Pelé called up at 17, but scoring a hat-trick in the semis and two goals in the final. That's making an impact at a young age.
And
we've mentioned the endorsements, but obviously he would have been playing at an age when there was not much money in the game, which is probably why, you know, New York Cosmos came calling when he could get some money. But and we also see film appearances. It's filmography down below. It's probably about 12 appearances. We've got Escape to Victory.
Yeah.
A film I've not really fully watched. I remember seeing the match at the end.
Yeah, don't.
Isn't Sylvester Stallone in goal? And
It's a dreadful, dreadful film.
It's a football film, Dave. There's no good football films. Do you know my problem? I think I've said this before, but my problem with football films is that we obviously know how football's meant to look, and it very rarely looks right on film.
Yeah.
Now, I always wonder, like, I like action movies as much as the next guy, but someone who's well-trained in martial arts, do they look at action movies when they're fighting, like a John Wick film, and go, that is shit.
They probably do.
What are they doing there?
They probably do.
Which I'd much rather be on this side of events, not enjoying the handful of shit football films, rather than knowing about martial arts and not enjoying a single action movie.
Interesting you said about R9 as well with futsal. So Pelé credits a lot of his skills to futsal and the challenges that come with futsal in terms of playing quickly, thinking quickly, and coming up with that. At 14 years old, he was playing in adult tournaments. They allowed him to play. He was initially considered too young, but played a friendly and scored like numerous amounts of goals in that, got into the tournament, and was the top scorer with 15. So I bet he pissed off quite a lot of older gentlemen in Brazil during that time. But a fantastic forward goal scorer.
I mean, I'm reading career after football. A couple of bits I want to mention. In November 2007, Pelé was in Sheffield, England, to mark the 150th anniversary of the world's oldest football club, Sheffield FC. He was guest of honour against Inter Milan at Bramall Lane. As part of the visit, Pelé opened the exhibition, which included the first public showing in 40 years of the original handwritten rules of football. The next bit is just a complete throwaway comment. Pelé scouted for Premier League club Fulham in 2002. What? What? So if we're telling me we'd load up Football Manager 2002, we'd see it would be CMO 0102, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We'd see Pelé on Scouts Fulham. There's an external link, which I think maybe just be worth a click after this.
That is amazing.
The deal was arranged by Fulham chair Mohamed Al-Fayed. It's fantastic for Fulham. Pelé is the greatest of all time, a true legend. So who better to have scouting for us in Brazil? I would love to see how many Brazilians were signed Fulham after that or under the recommend. I bet he did absolutely fuck all.
Yeah, I bet he did nothing. And then they went, any players for us? He just sort of went, Santos, you got any youngsters that I could send to Fulham for like 6 months?
He went, he just sent him, he faxed him a list of his FIFA 100. Got this list for you guys.
Yeah.
Why number am one. I seeing my name's Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Yeah. Number one, Pele. Oh, yeah, he does feature on his own list. Yeah. I should have mentioned that. He does feature on his own list of top 100 living footballers. He did put himself in that list, so good on him, Pele. Lovely stuff. Right, Josh.
Right.
R9.
It's probably quite easy to bridge the gap between two Brazilian striking legends. So how do we make this more difficult for ourselves?
We could say something like, as it's, this is the last in the GOAT series, isn't it, this one, Strikers?
Yeah, yeah. We've got to get one. To GOAT, page GOAT.
I was thinking, do you have to get there by being out of football? Do we have to leave our comfort zone? Well, Pele's going to have loads of mention, didn't he, around
Yeah.
things not well, to
you,
do with
you
football.
You can go to any of a film, trying to get to a film.
Oh, I don't mind that. Getting in via one of Pele's football films. Yeah, challenge accepted. I like that.
Challenge accepted. Well, I like quick that. Read of Ronaldo's. Ronaldo's has appeared in The Simpsons.
I did not know that.
No, it's season 18, so it's a little bit post-peak. He made a cameo appearance in each film of a Goal trilogy. He's made been in all three of them.
Okay.
Archive footage of Ronaldo features in the music video We Are One, Ole Ola, with Pitbull and Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah. My only worry, Josh, about getting into Pele via a film is that he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 films that are clickable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how we would get to Os Trapes El Rio de Futebol, Solidão Umlia Historia de Amor. I don't know how you get to them. And then there's one in the fabulous year, 1986. What a year that was. Called Hot Shot. Where he plays
that's
the role.
That's not Hot Shot. That's no. Hot Shot. That's,
I thought that's, it might be like Hot a football shot, film. But it's not. It's a Hot Shot. Yeah. So we might.
So basically, it's Mike Bassett or Escape to Victory is basically the route, is it? Who else was in Escape to Victory?
Sylvester Stallone.
Ozzy Ardiles was.
Ozzy Ardiles. Bobby Moore, I think, might have been in it, yeah. I mean, are we trying to get to Pele through a film? Is that what we're going to try and do?
I don't know.
It's an odd
thing. I don't know. Yeah. Let's try and find something we enjoy from...
Should we just click? Should we just click and see where we go?
Yeah, let's just have a little dart about. I mean, Nike's secret tournament is on there, which is fun.
Well, that was the advert, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I like that. Oh, also, something that this is the sort of thing... I think we found this before, what I'm about to say, with George Weir, where when you search for him and you go to him on Wikipedia, it doesn't say former Ballon d'Or winner or former footballer. So R9 says former... When you search for him on Google, it says Brazilian business professional. I was meant to raise this with you before. And when you do it on Pele, it says ex-Brazilian sports minister, not... anything to do with his football.
Oh.
It's odd, isn't it?
That is strange.
Yeah. But anyway. So, yeah, R9 then. Where are we going to click, Josh? I'll let you do the first click.
Oh, for God's sakes, Dave.
Yeah, that's because I always send this off to an absolute nightmare and you recover it. So I'm hoping we can, you know, switch reverse our roles today. I mean, I don't know much about Cruzeiro. I don't know how they got their name, their badge, their kit. They're staying in Brazil, though. Do we want to go out of Brazil?
I'm going to Jorge Campos. I remember him wearing really flamboyant goalkeepers' kits. Mexican goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Mentioned him, Nike sponsorship.
Nike sponsorship. There we go. Okay, yeah. George Campos.
Yeah. Amazingly, shorter than Pele. 5'6".
And a goalkeeper.
And a goalkeeper. Fantastic, isn't it? So
that goal must have looked huge.
Yeah. Born in 66, now age 56. Obviously retired. Notable player in Mexico in the 90s and noughties. Was an eccentric player known for his constant play outside the penalty area, often functioning as a sweeper-keeper, as well as acrobatic, risky and flamboyant style of goalkeeping. And his colourful playing attire. His main strengths as a goalkeeper were his leaping ability, had to be, athleticism and speed when rushing off his line, as well as his ability to organise his defence, which enabled him to overcome his short stature. He was regarded as one of the best goalkeepers of his generation. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, straight away, what jumps out to me is the fact he scored 35 or 34 league goals, all for one club, over two different stints.
Campos also made for an effective striker, an uncommon example of versatility in football that is rarely seen in today's game. At times, he would start the game in goal and transfer upfield later in the match, mostly at club level. He scored 35 goals throughout his career, scoring all but one while playing for UNAM. His trademark self-designed bright kits contributed to his popularity. Self-designed his kits.
I love that.
That is brilliant. That is.
And do you know what I really love? The one he's wearing in that picture where he's holding the golden ball.
Because it's got purple and yellow. On. Yeah.
Oh, love it.
Look at the sleeves. It's so sleevey.
That's because he's so small. They'd fit a regular
like a wizard
man.
Sleeve, that is. He's got a bicycle kick for Atalanta in the 97 season. In that game, he started as a goalkeeper. They were failing before to fail to score, so the coach replaced the field player with a goalkeeper and sent Campos up front. That's got to be pretty hard to take, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, how embarrassing is that for your team if you're not scoring goals so much that you have to put your goalkeeper up in goal and you don't have anyone better in goal, so you have to play basically a striker in goal?
They bring on a goalkeeper as a sub.
Yeah, but the... But that goalkeeper...
Before that,
goalkeeper is not good enough to be your first choice goalkeeper, but technically your striker is because he's playing in goal and then he's going to go up front if you can't score. Ah, ridiculous.
Yeah. Early adopters of the Stuart Pearce methodology of putting your striker up front. He was the starting goalkeeper for Mexico at two World Cups, 94 and 98. Also called up to 2002, but did not play. Because I think Guillermo Ochoa is... Also, similar, wouldn't you say? He's very much a... Not a big goalkeeper.
No, he's less than 6 foot, I think.
Yeah.
Ochoa, he's less than 6 foot. I'd be interested to know... Obviously, these stats won't exist because it probably would have been before Opta's time and that sort of thing. I'd love to know how many times he was lobbed. If he's an eccentric, short goalkeeper, that's open to lobbing, right? Sweeper keeping, coming out, how getting many, slightly wrong.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm feeling the pain of Lloris coming rushing out. I'm sure the UNAM fans and who else we've got? We've got LA Galaxy a couple of times. We've got Cruz Azul, Chicago Fire, Tigres. We've got a lot of fans who could have been burned by this eccentric goalkeeper because it's not an attribute I like in a goalkeeper, if I'm honest.
No, never look for it in Football Manager. It's always low eccentricity but good rushing out so they know when to do it properly. Yeah. No. Okay.
Fun fact, on Pelé's page, I saw a photo of Pelé shaking hands with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
And now on Jorge Campos's, I've got a photo of Campos shaking hands with Vladimir Putin.
So if we went to Vladimir Putin, do you reckon it would say Pelé?
Don't feel I want to. I feel like all the actions we should take are to delete these pictures from both their pages.
True, yeah, potentially. I mean, there is a bit on Pelé's page that says he wrote an open letter to Vladimir Putin around the Ukraine war and said, what the hell are you doing? I really hope he just faxed that over. What the hell are you doing? Anyway, right. So, where could we go?
So we're obviously in MLS, which we've flirted with, so we'll probably have to have a check of where we've been. That would obviously help with Pelé.
Yeah.
Mexico probably wouldn't. He's still got a lot of mention of the Nike football ads that he's been involved in. Lots of FIFA games mentioned, which I imagine you'd have a legend section with Pelé potentially mentioned.
Yeah, definitely. He'll be in the Legend 11, I think. Or Classic 11, whatever it's called on FIFA.
We've got some tournaments on it for Campos, which we might be able to pick, like the Liga MX trajectory, which has kind of piqued my interest.
Yeah, I think that's just similar to the Argentine one that we said last week, right? Where it's split into two. So I think trajectory should be the first season, the first part of the season. I'm quite tempted by the MLS Cup.
Yeah, the 1998 one with Chicago Fire.
Yeah, we can either just click on the tournament or click on the year. I don't mind.
Let me just check in terms of who's mentioned.
Yeah, if there's a game with a lineup or anything.
Yeah, it's not mentioned. So should we click on MLS Cup or 1998? Which will be MLS Cup, I imagine, is going to be the tournament in its general. 98 will be that season.
Should we look at 98 then? Go and see who was playing in 1998 in America?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It was the third edition of the MLS Cup, the championship match of Major League Soccer. It took place 25th October 1998 at the Rose Bowl, Pasadena, California. 51,000 people in attendance, with Chicago Fire beating DC United 2-0. And it would be Chicago became the first expansion team to win the Cup, second to complete a domestic double. In turn, became the first team to reach three consecutive finals, which would be under the last under their manager, Bruce Arena, who would go on to manage US, didn't he?
Yep. Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, broadcast nationally to almost 1 million households.
The match was decided in a shootout that was won 3-2 by the Fire after conversion by Jesse Marsh in the sixth round, current Leeds manager.
Oh, nice.
There you go. A bit of link to the modern day, not quite the way we need to go, but...
No, so what we've got here in terms of... we've got, you know, Chicago Fire with not many. We've got Jesse Marsh, obviously, playing centre mid. Other than that, I don't know. Maybe Josh Wall, I've got a vague memory of. Bob Bradley is their manager.
This is when Bob Bradley... I think that's in the photo above. I just read it. Yeah, former DC United assistant Bob Bradley was hired as the first head coach of Chicago Fire. So he left DC United... to join Chicago Fire.
Oh, okay. So it's like Arteta's Arsenal beating Man City.
Yeah, yeah.
So DC had Eddie Pope playing, Jeff Agus, Marco Echeverri.
I remember Jamie Moreno. I've got a memory of Jamie Moreno. That's probably from Champ Manager or something, though. Yeah, Chicago Fire, three Polish players. That's interesting, isn't it? Although I don't recognise any of the names.
No, so where do we go from here? We obviously got... A fair chunk of, you know, text on here, you know, Chicago Fire, DC United mentioned, the road to the final, the venue.
There's a line that says Echeverri earned the league's most valuable player award for his 19 assists and 10 goals, while Ben Olsen was named Rookie of the Year. I'm wondering, do we want to go and look at an award of anything? Have we done MLS awards? I feel like we've looked at...
I think we have for... I've got a vague memory of... Landon Donovan Award.
Yeah, I think that was the Landon Donovan MVP Award, I think. Yeah, so maybe we've already used that one then. DC lost six members of their cup-winning roster in the 97-98 off-season, including striker Raul Diaz Arce, however you'd say that. I've sort of recognised that name.
Well, it's Francisco Arce was the Paraguayan right wing-back.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I'm getting mixed up.
Yeah, in season one, we won the Landon Donovan MVP award. We've done a Canada Soccer Player of the Year award as well. MLS Comeback Player of the Year award. We've been around North America.
Yeah, okay.
We've done FIFA Order of Merit. Yeah, we do like an award.
Well, I remember you pulling Atiba Hutchinson out of your ass out of nowhere. I don't know who that is.
He might well be there in the World Cup this winter.
True. Yeah, he might be. Okay, right. Where do we want to go? Do we want to go to the person who won the MLS Cup Most Valuable Player Award, Peter Nowak, one of the Polish guys for Chicago Fire, captain on the day?
No, do we? Why?
Well, I don't know. Different, isn't it? We said we're just going to see where we end up.
All right, Piotr Nowak.
Polish professional football manager and former player, recently in charge of... that club in that place.
Go on. Extra Kalasa.
Club.
Oh, no, that's the area. Then you've got to name the club.
Okay. Jagiellonia Białystok. Białystok. I'm trying to remember how my Polish friend in Singapore tells me how to pronounce that S thing, but no chance. Highlight of his career, probably...
managing Antigua and Barbuda.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
So he's managed in Washington, D.C., the U.S., Philadelphia, Antigua. Then looks like he's gone back to Poland for
Electric old time's sake. Definitely in Poland, yeah.
Played in Germany for Dynamo Dresden, Kaiserslautern, 1860. And in Switzerland with Young Boys. Is that... it's going to be Turkey in Bakırspor.
Yeah.
And then Poland before that.
5'7", shorter than Pele.
Oh, we are on a short player.
Link, yeah.
Yeah, short players only, please. Wow. Union firing for player. So he's fired by. So he's had coaching career at DC, US national teams, Philadelphia Union. Union firing for player abuse. Okay. So accusations of Novak mistreating his players surfaced publicly thereafter. Among the accusations were Novak's repeatedly insulting players, trivializing injuries and calling players who had concussions pussies and weak, brutal hazing of rookies and trying to out those who took grievances to a players' union. Ooh, nice guy, hey?
Okay. Bloody hell.
From the Sir Alex Ferguson School of HR disciplinaries here, isn't he?
Yeah, it does seem that way.
Old school. It's not in my day, mate. It's just old school, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, old.
But a 44% or nearly 45% win percentage at DC United. 94 games, 42 wins, 25 draws, 27 losses. Not too bad. Didn't replicate that at Philadelphia, though, 28% there. Yeah. He was named to the MLS all-time best 11. So that could...
Oh, really?
Yeah, potentially be a click, so...
Do we need to get out of MLS?
Probably.
Are we doubling down and thinking we'll get to Pelé through here? But Pelé didn't play in the MLS, did he? He played in the NLS, is it?
Yeah, whatever it was called at the time, the National Soccer League or whatever it was, rather than...
Yeah, NSL, yeah.
MLS, so... Okay, so how do we get out of... Well, this is the only thing. Pelé didn't play outside of Brazil and America. So we're over
there. Yeah, you need media, World Cups...
Brazilian League.
Or Brazilian League. And we're a Polish guy who played
in Poland.
In none
America.
Of those, and managed in only in he managed in America. Okay.
He scored against Costa Rica, which at least gets us back into South America. I'm thinking, you know, Copa Americas, international games. Did Pelé score against Costa Rica? Is that written on their page? Did he score a hat-trick against them?
I'm just going to have a look at Pelé's goal-scoring record. I'll tell you right now, can't I? Is it not on here? That's probably too much on here, isn't it? It's probably
I think
another
he scored
page.
Too many, yeah.
Oh, it's a secondary page. List of international goals scored by Pelé.
Well, I mean, that would be a way in if he has done it against Costa Rica.
It would. Is that where we're going?
Think so. I mean, I'm not confident. It was just the only way I could see us getting to South. Oh, there is actually. Oh, no, it's a link to the whole 2007 CONCACAF Gold Cup, not just the CONCACAF Gold Cup in its entirety. And that's... Is Brazil in that? Brazil in CONCACAF? Or are they...
No, it's...
No, Mexico playing CONCACAF, don't they? And Brazil playing the...
Central America, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go somewhere wild. Something different, something new, something fresh.
Okay, how about we go to Zavitska Bodoskovic?
That's not sexy. I'm thinking...
That's not sexy. Fuck, that doesn't do it for you. Unbelievable.
Antigua and Barbuda Football Association. Fine. Caribbean Football Union.
Yeah, Antigua and Barbuda Football Association. I mean...
Rather than Caribbean Football Union. I think that's a bit wider.
Okay, Caribbean Football Union. I don't mind, mate.
Okay, Caribbean Football Union. Right.
Represents 25 FIFA member nations, as well as 6 territories that are not affiliated to FIFA. The union was established in January 1978, and its members' association complete in the CONCACAF region.
Okay, so the Caribbean national team has played several exhibition fixtures. In 1987, Caribbean 11 entertained Sao Paulo FC. A year later, a Caribbean selection, and then Crystal Palace. I imagine that is Ian Wright scoring against the Caribbean... Association there?
Yeah, I really, for a minute there, where it said that Pitta had scored for Sao Paulo, I thought that said Pelé.
He scored Pelé, yeah, and I thought, this is absolutely crazy we've done this. We're probably clicking on Pitta, though, aren't we?
I think I think we are. Yeah, I think we sort of have to click
played
on.
In 1987, he's probably Brazilian, or you can obviously click on Sao Paulo, but have we clicked on Sao Paulo?
I don't think we have. No, I feel like clicking on Sao Paulo is a bit of a... If you've got the option of clicking on a guy called Pitta, then...
Yeah. You can then go to Sao Paulo if you need to.
Yeah. So, Pitta?
Pitta. Pitta football. Edvaldo Oliveira Chavez. Best known as Pitta. because he loved eating pita bread. It's not true. 5'8", Dave. kept it short.
And Josh.
Currently works as general manager of Desportivo Brazil.
Played for Santos.
We're so damn lucky. Wikipedia's great.
It really is. It really is, isn't it?
It's a big incestuous pool of knowledge.
Oh, he was 3 years out of playing with Pele at Santos.
Yeah. Oh, he played for Nagoya Grampus 8. Isn't that where Mr. Gary Lineker played, Grampus 8?
Yes. Was that Arsene Wenger's team that he managed in Japan? Or is it Red Warrior Antlers or Diamonds or whatever they were called?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's a Gary Lineker, but I don't know about...
Oh, teams managed. Pitta managed Urawa Red Diamonds, which is exactly the team I was trying to just get off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so he played 243 appearances, 49 goals because of midfielder. He went over to, is it France, Strasbourg, a bit of time in Brazil, France, Guarani? Don't know where they are.
Got to be Brazil.
Maybe they're in France again. Well, he's already in France, and then he goes over to Japan.
Oh, yeah.
He closes his career with Inter Limeira, which I don't know where they are. So, looks like we're off to, unless we've been there already, imagine if we found this out.
Oh, it wasn't France, Guarani. I think it is Brazil. If you look at his club performance... Santos, Sao Paulo, Serie A, Serie A, Serie A.
Oh, yeah, Serie A,
Serie B. J-League Division 2, Football League, J-League 1. Also, Josh, just a quick thing. If they have those numbers there in that table, shouldn't it be in the top right summary as well? There's no appearances or goals in the top right summary.
Well, yeah. The problem is, I think you go for... Does it cover all of them?
No, top right summary does league only.
Yeah, and that's what the league is, isn't it? I'm thinking, is it all the clubs now? So you've got Santos, you can work that out. You can get, not something happened in 1979 for him. You could probably transpose that across, I'd have thought. Might as well.
Yeah, action.
Yeah, take that action.
50% win streak. No, that's a false stat. It's not a false stat, but it's very misleading because he only managed 2 games for Sao Paulo, 1-1 and drew 1. And then Urawa Reds, 12 games, 3 wins, 3 draws, 6 losses, 25% win ratio.
Very clean percentages he's rocking now, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? It is. Are we going to Santos?
We're going to Santos.
If Pele isn't mentioned here, be catastrophe.
Yeah, Santos FC. Nicknames. Fish. Black and white from the beach, and Santastic. That's a shit name.
Santastic.
Welcome to the Fish. They are Santastic. They played at Villa Belmiro. Only 16,000 capacity. Surprising.
Oh, hang on. Santos. 5 players, past or present. Pele.
Yep.
Neymar.
Yes.
Robinho.
I agree. I'm literally just shooting.
I don't think
Peche or fish in a barrel there.
Kaká.
I can't remember.
Kaká was Sao Paulo. Robinho, Neymar, Pele. I've got to have some more up here that I know of. I'm going to go rogue. I'm going to go Fred the striker. Remember the Fred the striker?
I think he's been around a little bit.
And Adriano. I'm going to go Adriano. I don't even know there's a page that says past players, but.
No, let's have a look at current players, if we know any of those.
Nope.
Negative.
I mean, they've got a defender wearing number 33 called Mykon, which I quite like.
No, so let's have a think around, let's have a look at their badge and their... Is football on their badge, not a basketball?
It looks like an old school football, doesn't it?
Being over the 20th century, the city of Santos grew to become a great importance. Brazil port become the largest... in the world with coffee, a major product most times being the most exported product. Water sports such as rowing were generally the most practiced here because it was by a port. Football was introduced in 1902.
I don't want to interrupt your history, but I found a great little sentence here. Although Santos failed to retain the state title the next season, the club remained undefeated in international matches during the 1930s. with 7 wins and 1 draw. The most overwhelming win occurred against the French national football team, who arrived at Santos on the 30th of July after the FIFA World Cup in Uruguay. They decided to use the stop to play against the local team. They lost 6-1 with 4 goals coming from Feticio. The French claimed they faced the Seleção rather than the club, and the suspicious French were invited to the clubhouse to prove that the team they had just faced were not, in fact, the Brazilian team in disguise.
I love that fact. It's so obviously so globalisation now, the internet, it's obviously easy to know those things now.
Yeah.
And now everybody's registered. But in back in those days, like, who is this guy? What is this?
Okay, Pelé. I've seen Pelé as well. I've seen Pelé.
Yeah, I'm looking now. The renewed 2002-2008 era. We have Alex, as in, I think that would be Alex, the centre-back, Robinho, Diego. Do you remember Diego? Played in Germany for a bit. Emerson Lau, Elano, Renato. Yeah, oh, Kaká. Oh, yeah, so eliminating Sao Paulo and its young duo of Kaká and Luis Fabiano. So you're right with Sao Paulo? Yes, because Robinho and Diego were the ones where it was kind of like they were the next big things, weren't they?
The club president gave a person called Lula leeway. Oh, no, sorry. The club president gave Lula, which is the person's name, leeway to scout talented individuals who were trying out for the club. Perhaps the greatest signing that was approved was that of a 15-year-old boy brought over to Villa Belermo by Valdemar de Brito. De Brito, who was manager of the Baru Athletic Club's junior squad, had won 3 consecutive Sao Paulo State Youth Championships between 1954 and 1956 with the child. The boy, called Edson Arantes de Nascimento, who would better be known as Pelé in the near future, was the main driving force behind those victories. The contract between Santos and the young Pelé was finalised in June 1956.
In the popular culture section, it mentions escaped victory yet again. So they're going through some kind of change in the moment. They've got a caretaker head coach in Orlando Ribeiro.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd see a list of old head coaches and find a rogue Englishman, but it's not on the page. They are Brazil's second most successful team, historically. 9 domestic trophies and one of the most recognised football clubs in the world, having won 8 international trophies, making them the 6th most successful team in South America. When was the last success they actually had that was noteworthy? Copa Libertadores in 2011?
Yeah, it seemed like you had early 2000s they had some success. And so not for the last five, 6 years they've been a bit fallow.
Well, we've learned a bit about Santos.
A bit about Santos. And all with a view of getting to Edson Arantes de Nascimento. Just fun fact for Dave, do you remember there's a boy at our school called Edson? Had these middle names? Is his middle names?
He had the whole Brazilian World Cup. I can't remember what year it was, but he had the whole Brazilian World Cup winning team as his all of his middle names, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes things go too far.
Okay? Yes, they do. Was his dad Brazilian? Is that what it was? Or?
I mean, it didn't seem like he had a Brazilian dad.
That's why I'm questioning it, yeah. No.
So this was the GOAT episode for strikers. We started with R9 and we moved on to Jorge Campos, who played in the MLS Cup in 1998. The most valuable player in that team was Piotr Novak. Thought, let's have a look at him. He managed Antigua and Barbuda, who are part of the Caribbean Football Union. We couldn't resist that click. And they played some exhibition matches, one of them against Sao Paulo, where a Brazilian player called Pita played and thought, well, that sounds like Pelé. We'll go to him. He started his career at Santos, of course, which was Pelé's first club and where he played the majority of his career, giving us a very easy click through to Pelé. We didn't know where we were going to go. We got there in the end.
Wikipedia is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to use. And it does bring an end to this week's podcast and end to the GOAT series, but we will be back next week as well with another episode. So thank you so much for listening. Feel free to send in your suggestions for Wikipedia pages. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers or on Instagram at Wikipedia Wanderers. And for now, we'll say goodbye. See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.